mirror has been done. I could quote you 7 examples from this country alone. Now continue with your character analysis.
This car.
Yes?
Well, it's the highest quality, but look at the design, the typeface, the layout, all of it. It's ostentatious in the extreme, flamboyant almost.
You can't condemn someone for a lack of taste.
No, 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 that's not my point. It's not just bad taste. There's too much effort in it. Trying too hard. The gardens here are the same. The ornamental gates, everything. He's a man who values appearances because he doesn't have anything else, anything more fundamental.
Not a man of breeding.
Ah, but someone who thinks he's a gentleman and cares a great deal that others should think so, too.
Watson, Watson, you scintillate this morning.
Must be the cold.
Well, I'll bring you out on these excursions more often, any more.
Well, if a man's that successful in his profession, however debased it may be, he's obviously no fool. If anything, I suspect it's harder to rise outside the law. So he probably has a considerable brain.
Absolutely accurate.
Holmes, if you already know all this, why am I standing here, freezing to death, slowly working it all out?
Because, as always, your different perspective on matters is illuminating.
I'm pleased to hear it.
And it does me no harm to be reminded of the basic facts. Well, if anything, you underestimated his intelligence. He's a genius in his way. He'd have made his mark in a more savoury trade.
Seems to have made quite a mark in this one.
Oh, yes. And no one knows what his grip will fall next. He'll hold a card back for years to play it when the stakes are best worth winning. He tortures and wounds and kills as surely as if he used the gun or the knife. As I said, the worst man in London. Come along, Doctor.
You've seen enough?
For the present. Besides, a snake pit isn't the healthiest of places to linger.
I knew you would see the sense of it, Your Grace.
Mr. Milverton, I have not come to agree to your terms.
Indeed. I fail to see any other reason why you should have come here. This is hardly the sort of hour for a social visit.
I have come to ask you for mercy.
For mercy? Why should I show you mercy?
Why should you ruin innocent lives?
Innocent, Your Grace.
I'm not referring to myself. My husband and our son. You must know what this exposure would mean.
But the remedy is in Your Grace's own hands.
I don't have £10,000.
Then get it.
It's impossible. Mr. Milverton.
Oh, Your Grace, kindly do not embarrass us both by kneeling. It is most unbecoming.
I beg you. Please.
If you've exhausted your arguments, then I must ask you to excuse me. I'm a busy man. However...
Yes?
I've no wish to be unreasonable. You have a week.
He's here. A very expensive carriage. Superb horses and a liveried footman. And there's the man himself.
Very good. Describe him.
Have you never seen him?
Never.
Well, he's small and stout. I suppose about 50, balding.
Details, Watson, details.
Yeah, Holmes, I saw him for about 5 seconds. Spectacles. He wears spectacles. He's smoking a cigar, large, obviously expensive. And he's wearing a sort of shaggy astrakhan overcoat. Not exactly the height of taste.
Yes.
You know, it's ridiculous, but...
What?
Well, he looks for all the world like Mr. Pickwick.
Watson, make no mistake. This man is the king of all blackmailers. He has the cunning of the evil one. Mr. Milverton.
Mr. Holmes.
Won't you come in?
This gentleman. Is it discreet? Is it right?
Dr. Watson is my friend and partner.
Very good. It's only in your client's interest that I protested. The matter is so very delicate.
Dr. Watson has already heard of it.
Then we can proceed to business. Has the Lady Eva empowered you to accept my terms?
What are your terms?
Well, they haven't altered. £7,000 by the 14th.
And the alternative?
Oh, my dear sir, it is painful to discuss it.
We are, of course, familiar with the contents of these letters. I shall advise my client to tell her future husband the whole story and trust to his generosity.
You evidently do not know the Earl.
What harm is there in the letters?
Oh, your familiarity with them doesn't seem particularly deep. No matter. They're sprightly. Very sprightly. The lady was a charming correspondent, and her friend evidently very close to her. I can assure you that the Earl of Dovercourt would fail to appreciate them.
We disagree.
Oh, well, then, we'll let it rest at that. It's purely a matter of business. Good day to you.
Wait.
Mr. Holmes?
You'll go too fast. We would certainly make every effort to avoid a scandal in so delicate a matter.
Ah, I was sure that you would see it in that light.
At the same time, Lady Eva is not a wealthy woman.
Mr. Holmes.
The sum you mention is utterly beyond her power. £2,000 would be a drain on her resources.
£2,000?
That is the highest price that you will get.
Oh, but the occasion of a lady's marriage is surely a suitable time for friends and relatives to make some little effort on her behalf. They may be hesitating as to a suitable wedding present. Well, that little bundle of letters would give more joy than all the candelabra and butter dishes in London.
Impossible.
How unfortunate. I can't help thinking that ladies are ill-advised not to make an effort. Look at this. This belongs to, well, perhaps it's hardly fair to tell you the name until this time next week. By then it will be in the hands of the lady's husband. And all because she will not find a beggarly sum which she could get in an hour by turning her diamonds into paste. It is such a pity. And you argue about terms when your client's future and honour are at stake. You surprise me, Mr. Holmes. You really do. I thought you were a man of some intelligence.
Surely it's better for you to take the sum we offer than to ruin this lady's reputation. That can't profit you in any way.
Ah, but it would. I have 8 or 10 similar cases maturing. If they knew that I had made a severe example of the Lady Eva, I should find them all much more open to reason. You see my point?
Now, sir, let us see those letters.
Mr. Holmes!
You can't leave this room without getting past me. I don't believe you have that capability.
Oh, my dear sir, your reputation for insight seems to have been grossly exaggerated. A Webley's number 2. Small but effective, particularly at short range. This gives me the capability, wouldn't you agree? And you, Doctor, would be advised to try no heroics. Put down the chair. That's better. Now be good enough to join your partner by the door. Excellent. Gentlemen, I was expecting you to try something original. This has been done so often. I assure you I'm perfectly prepared to use this, and the law would support me. Detaining someone against his will is a most serious offence. And now, I do have one or two little interviews this evening, and it is a tedious drive to Hampstead. If you'll excuse me. Thank you.
Maestro there.
Wonderful!
another one?
Oh, sorry, friend. You was first, I believe.
No, that's all right.
Tell you what, let me get yours to make up for the rudeness.
It wasn't rude.
No, politeness costs nothing, my old ma used to say. Mind you, she had a tongue on her that could strip paint. Useful, that was, come to think of it.
Well, all right, thanks.
Another pint it is. Landlord!
I'm coming! You're not the only one here!
No, very true, yeah. And what can I get for the lovely lady?
Oh, well...
She'll have a half, and I'm paying for it.
So I says to her, the trouble there, madam, is the seating's gone and you're old bull cook.
No!
And she says to me, oh, well, hurry up and fix it. It's highly inconvenient. Inconvenient, yeah, turning red she was and dancing about better than Dan Leno.
No.
I don't think that's any way to talk about a lady.
Oh, Harry.
I'll tell you, mate, and you two beautiful, come here, listen. You listening, eh?
I'm listening.
Oh, now you can get closer than that.
Oh!
Now, just a minute.
Oh, belt up, Harry, for God's sake. Go on, Billy.
Right, well, the great thing about my trade is this. Above stairs, below stairs, kings and queens, or the likes of you and me, the plumber, they're all exactly the same. We are the great social levellers, we are. You can't keep no secrets from your plumber.
Can't you talk about nothing else? Plumbing, all bloody night.
Oh, shut up, Harry. It's fascinating.
Disgusting, I call it.
Oh, it's nature. That's what it is. You can't deny it.
Harry can.
Oh, blimey. Not built like the rest of us, are you, mate?
No.
Don't fancy your chances much then, girl. You want to get yourself someone what's properly equipped.
What? Like a plumber, you mean?
Nothing missing from my toolbox, I can tell you. Want to have a look?
No.
Right, that's enough. Come on.
Harry!
Why, easy, mate. You'll do yourself a mischief. Yeah, you all right?
Ignore him, Billy.
Whatever you say, gorgeous. Your word is my command.
So, you're doing all right then, are you?
Doing great, girl. Doing great. My own business. Nice little bit put away. Doing great.
And Mrs. Escott? What about her?
Oh, really, Mrs. Hudson? It's only rain. It'll dry.
What's happened?
What makes you think something has?
Because for the last 5 days, you haven't been back much before 10. It's only 4:30.
Do you mind if I change while we talk?
No, not at all.
Thank you. This gentleman has his points, but as a constant companion, he leaves a great deal to be desired. Know what I mean? Do you, Gav? Know what I mean? Eh?
Yes, I believe I do. So, are you actually going to tell me at last what you've been up to?
You wouldn't call me a marrying man, Watson.
No, indeed.
Yes, then you'll be interested to hear that I'm engaged.
My dear fellow, congratulations.
To Middleton's housemaid.
Holmes!
I wanted information.
Oh, surely you've gone too far.
It was necessary.
It's outrageous.
Well, I've got everything I wanted. I know Middleton's house as well as I know the back of my own hand.
But the girl, what about her feelings?
Yes, well, I rejoice to say that I have a hated rival who will certainly cut me out the instant my back is turned.
Even so.
But it can't be helped when you consider what's at stake.
The marriage of a society beauty. Why should she deserve more consideration than a serving girl?
It's not just the lady, either. If I'm successful, I'll be able to put an end to all Milverton's activities.
What exactly are you planning to do?
What a splendid night it is.
You like this weather?
It suits my purpose.
Your Grace, I'm so terribly sorry.
Thank you, Sir William.
The final stroke was very sudden. The Duke could have suffered little pain.
Good.
Forgive me, but would you like me to ring for your maid?
Thank you. No. I should like to remain here for a moment. Alone with my husband.
Of course.
My dear fellow, I've given it every consideration.
Detection, capture, an honored career ending in disgrace.
I wouldn't adopt so dangerous a course if any other were possible.
But the thought of you at the mercy of that odious man.
Calm down for a moment and think, Watson. Look at it clearly and fairly. You'll admit that it's morally justifiable, even though it's technically criminal.
All right. It's morally justifiable. But the risk...
There's no other way. Either I play this last card, or I abandon my client to her fate. Well, surely you don't think I should worry about the personal risk when a lady's in need of my help?
Don't try to win me over with that argument.
Watson, Watson, it's a duel between Milverton and me. My self-respect and my reputation are at stake. I mean to fight to the finish.
Well, I don't like it. But I suppose it must be.
Yes, it must.
When do we start?
You're not coming.
Then you're not going.
Watson.
I give you my word of honor, and I never broke it in my life, that I will take a cab straight to Scotland Yard and give you away, unless you let me share this adventure with you.
You can't help me.
How do you know that? You can't tell what might happen.
I can't put you at risk as well as myself.
No, my mind's made up. Other people besides you have self-respect and reputations.
Yeah, we've shared the same room for some years. It would be amusing if we ended up by sharing the same cell.
You know, I've always had an idea that I'd make a highly efficient criminal.
Let's hope so.
This is my chance of a lifetime in that direction. Look at this.
What is it?
First-class burglary kit. Yeah, nickel-plated jemmy, diamond-tipped glass cutter... Adaptable keys?
Mm.
Yes, every modern improvement which the march of civilization demands. You brought the dark lantern.
Yes. And these.
Oh.
Here.
Yes. Masks.
I made them out of black silk.
Oh, I see you have a strong natural turn for this sort of thing yourself. Yes, well done.
You see, not a glimmer of light in the windows. Oh, yes, everything's going splendidly.
Good. What about the dog?
Aggie, that's my fiancée, would have chained it up to give me a clear run at her room.
Good God.
Now, save the scruples for later, Doctor. Besides, she's doomed to disappointment. Now, that's Milverton's bedroom, next door to the study, where the safe is.
You're sure he'll be asleep?
Yes, and impossible to wake, according to Aggie. Yes, it's a standing joke in the servants' hall. Now, that door leads straight into the study. It'll be locked and bolted. Too noisy to open.
What then?
Around the side. Follow me. Now. Yes, excellent.
Be careful of those edges. They're razor sharp.
Thank you, Doctor, but I have done this before. Now. The key is always left in the lock.
So, from this moment on, we're criminals.
Actually, we've been criminals from the time we walked through the gates. Entry with intent to burgle. When I put my hand through the glass, the offence changed to burglary proper. Section 25 of the Larceny Act. Maximum punishment, life imprisonment.
Thank you very much for the information.
You're welcome. Now, I suggest we leave the technical discussion until after we're finished.
It's pitch black. I'll light the lantern.
No, not until we're in the study. Now, I know the way. Give me your hand.
Here.
Yes, very good. Ready?
Ready.
Come then. To work. This is the door to his bedroom.
Right.
And then... Locked.
No, wait. You hear anything?
Nothing.
Right. Very well.
Good grief.
What? Oh, yeah. He didn't hear it. Come on.
Why is the fire still burning?
I don't know. Wait, I'll just... Yeah. What a sound from the bedroom.
Good. I'll unlock the garden door. Secure our retreat.
Good man. And I'll just... Jimmy.
Holmes?
What?
It was unlocked all the time. We could have walked straight in.
Yes, I don't like this. So we've no time to lose.
Can I do anything?
Yeah. Stand by the door. If you hear anyone coming, lock it, and we can get away through the house.
Right.
If someone comes the other way,
Yes?
Well, we can get out to the garden if the job's done, or, yes, hide behind those window curtains if it isn't. Do you understand?
Yes, perfectly.
Right, well, to your post then. I'll see what I can do with the safer.
The boy I love is up in a gallery. The boy I love is looking down at me. There he is, can't you see? Where are you, Billy?
Everything back. Now the curtains, quickly.
A servant?
I don't think so.
Moverton?
Did you get everything?
Yes. Perhaps he's not coming in here.
Careful.
I'll be able to see if the handle turns. Holmes.
What?
The door of the safe. It isn't shut properly.
Damn.
I'll do it.
No.
What is it?
I can smell his cigar.
Yes, I know, Puss. It's very late, isn't it? Yes. But it should be worth it. Ah, yes. Now, will she be on time, Put? Oh, admirable. Down you go. Patience.
A visitor. At this time of night.
I should have foreseen it.
Come in, my dear. Oh, what a terrible night, don't you agree? Well, I must say I approve of the veil. I wish all my suppliers were so cautious. Well, my dear, you've made me lose a good night's rest. You really couldn't come at any other time, eh?
No, sir.
Yes, well, I dare say the Countess is a harsh mistress.
Well, you have your chance to get level now.
Yes.
Bless the girl. What are you shivering about? Pull yourself together. Now, let's get down to business. You say that you have five letters which compromise the Countess d'Albert. You want to sell them, I want to buy them. So far, so good. It only remains to fix the problem. Great heavens. Well, well. Is it you?
The woman whose life you have ruined.
You are so very obstinate. Why did you drive me to such extremities? I assure you I wouldn't hurt a fly of my own accord, but every man has his business. What was I to do? I put the price well within your means. You wouldn't pay.
So you sent the letter to my husband, and he broke his heart and died.
Oh, pray accept my deepest condolences.
You unspeakable hypocrite.
Don't imagine that you can bully me.
You will ruin no more lives as you've ruined mine. You will wring no more hearts as you've wrung mine.
What are you doing?
Freeing the world of a poisonous thing.
No, no.
My God.
Now, Watson,
I might not be too late to...
This is for my husband.
Good God above. His face.
There's no time for that. The servants will be here in moments. Help me.
After burning all of the victim's private papers, the murderers made their escape across Hampstead Heath. One of the two masked men was caught by the undergardener and got away only after a struggle. He was a middle-sized, strongly built man with a square jaw, a thick neck and a moustache.
Yes, well, rather vague. That might be a description of you.
That's not in the least funny.
Yes, actually, I agree. Who's on the case?
Lestrade.
Oh, well.
Holmes, he's no fool.
No, but it's extremely unlikely that he'll look in this direction.
Why shouldn't he?
Well, Scotland Yard have had their eyes on Milverton for some time. Now, Lestrade will decide that the killers were being blackmailed and that their sole object was to avoid social exposure. That's hardly going to suggest us.
I wish I had your certainty.
Watson, our client's happiness is secure. A sizable part of the population of London can sleep easier tonight. What's wrong?
Well, it's this. In that room when I was, on guard and you were working on the safe...
Yeah?
I don't think I've ever been as thrilled. Not once. Not in all the times we were on the right side of the law rather than the wrong. I don't know, I rejoiced in it.
Yes, it's a powerful drug. And besides, our cause was right. It was a chivalrous mission.
Yes, of course. But what happened then?
Was none of our affair.
Well, how can you say that? We stood and watched while a murder was committed.
Could you have prevented it?
Perhaps.
I don't think so. Watson, what we achieved would have put Milverton out of action for a year. Well, perhaps less. Instead of which...
There must have been another way.
No. There are some crimes which the law can't touch.
And you believe in private revenge?
I believe in justice.
In Charles Augustus Milverton, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Peter Vaughan as Charles Augustus Milverton and Pauline Jameson as the Duchess. Aggie was played by Alice Arnold, Harry Logan by David Thorpe, Lady Eva by Danielle Allen, and the Doctor by Peter Penry Jones. The pianist was Michael Haslam, and the violinist was Leonard Friedman. Charles Augustus Milverton was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Enid Williams.
Look at it. Just see how it glints and sparkles. It is a nucleus and focus of crime. There have been two murders, a vitriol throwing, a suicide, and several robberies brought about for the sake of this 40-grain weight of crystallized charcoal. It's a bonny thing.
The Blue Carbuncle by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Peter Blythe as James Ryder and Hugh Dixon as Henry Baker. The Blue Carbuncle.
The winter of 1889 was bitterly cold. After dark, the stars shone stark and bright in a cloudless sky, and the breath of the late-night Christmas shoppers blew out into smoke like so many silent pistol shots, while their footfalls rang out crisp and loud. But for all the inclement weather, there was a sense of collective goodwill in the air, as if the people of the capital had agreed to lay aside their differences and petty squabbles for a few short days and unite in celebrating the season of forgiveness.
Support the mission, won't you, sir? Warm Christmas meal for the poor and needy.
Yes, yes, of course. There.
The Lord love you, sir. A Merry Christmas to you and your good lady.
Thank you.
And to you. Bless you, ma'am. Support the poor at Christmas. Oh, thank you, sir.
Well, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Sounds good, don't it? Yeah, I suppose she gets more money that way.
Oh, John, don't be like that. Why shouldn't you be shown a bit of respect?
True enough. John Horner, plumber and builder by royal appointment. That's me after today's little job. Mind you, they was careful to call me in when her ladyship was out of the way. Couldn't have her clapping her eyes on a working man.
Oh, but it paid well.
Oh, very handsome. Of course, I told them I ought to take less.
You never did.
That's right, I never did.
Get on with you.
So I reckon we can treat the kids to a present apiece and have enough left over for a bit of something tasty for the table. It's going to be a good Christmas, girl.
Well, God bless the aristocracy.
May they never learn to do their own plumbing.
John Terence Horner.
Who wants to know?
Inspector Bradstreet, Scotland Yard.
John?
What do you want?
What I want, my friend, is you. You're under arrest.
Mr. Ryder?
Thank you, Inspector.
Oh, thank God you're here, mate. He'll tell you, copper. He was the one what engaged me. Well, sir?
Oh, yes. That's him, all right.
See? I don't know what all this is about, but you've got the wrong man.
I was a fool to leave you alone in that room.
Do what?
I found the jewel case all broken open where you left it.
You bloody liar! Ah! Get off! Any more of that and I'll have you chained.
Understand?
I'm not a thief!
Clark and Sons, Oban, Dealers in Gemstones, March 1879.
That was 10 years ago. I've been straight since then, God's truth.
Save your breath, Horner. There's only one thing I want to hear from you. Where have you hidden the Countess of Morcar's blue carbuncle?
Good night, landlord. The compliments of the season to you.
And to you, Mr. Baker. And to your good lady wife.
Oh, yes.
I hope you enjoy your Christmas dinner.
Assuredly, my good sir. Thanks to you. Good night and good health to you. Good tidings I bring. Good tidings.
Take care, Mr. Baker. And a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Tidings I bring to you and your... Who's there? Come out into the light. I warn you. I have a stick.
Hello, my friend.
What? Who are you?
He doesn't know us, Harry.
We're the poor and needy. How'd you like to give us a present?
You're nothing but a couple of roughs. Get out of my way or I'll summon a constable.
Nice hat, this.
Oh. Give that back at once.
It's too big.
My hat!
Flies nice, though.
What's in the parcel, then?
No.
Oh, it's something precious. No, hey, let's have a butcher's.
Oh, well, now, that's what I call a handsome present. Go down a treat, that will.
Very well. I gave you fair warning, much as I deplore violence.
Oh, we'd better give it back to him, Harry. He's got a stick. Oh.
Take that! Oh, my good God.
Congratulations, my old chum. Welcome to the wrong side of the law.
Yeah. What's going on there?
It's a copper.
Oh, no.
Shift yourself.
Right.
That's right. Get off out of it!
Oh, my life!
Not you! I didn't mean you, sir! Oh, God, what about your hat? What the devil's this? Good Lord!
So... To cut a long story short, Mr. Holmes...
Yes, do that by all means, my dear fellow.
Yes, well, as I say, to cut a long story short, I brought both items straightway round to you as soon as I could, knowing as how you're always interested in any little problems.
Yes, quite right. Excuse me, Peterson.
It's not too early for you, sir. I mean, I could come back again later on.
No. Very well, Commissioner. You've told me the story in admirable detail. Pray unveil the trophies.
The trophies? Oh, I see what you mean. Well, the hat, you've seen that?
Yes, I've seen that. But what exactly do you have wrapped up in yesterday's Echo, second edition?
Well, sir...
Oh, my dear fellow, I congratulate you. That is a most unimpeachable goose.
There's no call to congratulate me, Mr. Holmes. It's not mine. Look here. There's a label.
For Mrs. Henry Baker.
The old gent what ran off last night, mistaking me for a constable, like I said, well, he must have been taking it home, and you see my problem, sir.
Your problem is the price of your honesty, Peterson. A lesser man will be counting his good fortune.
Well, that's as may be. But I know my duty, and that's to return both the hat and the bird. But how, Mr. Holmes? That's the question.
How indeed? Did you sincerely want my advice as to what to do with the goose?
Well, yes, sir, I do.
Take it home, cook it, and eat it.
Mr. Holmes?
There are signs that delay would be unwise.
Well, perhaps...
Most definitely. It's high time for it to fulfill the ultimate destiny of a goose. I trust you and Mrs. Peterson will enjoy it.
But the rightful owners...
You may leave him and his hat to me. Good morning to you, Peterson.
Well, and to you, sir. And a very Merry Christmas to you.
I'm rapidly running out of patience with you, Horner.
Look, Mr. Bradstreet... If I knew where it was, I'd tell ya. But I've never laid eyes on it. My word on the book.
Your word?
Can I see my wife?
Ah, it's prisoner's privileges you're wanting, is it? Listen, Horner, the Countess of Morcar's been pulling strings. I've got the Commissioner looking over my shoulder, and I don't like that one little bit. Where's that jewel?
A very Merry Christmas to you, Holmes.
Thank you, Watson.
Oh, cheer up, old man. Oh, it's supposed to be the season of goodwill. Oh, must be close to freezing out there. This is for you.
Oh. My dear fellow,
No, you mustn't open it until tomorrow.
Oh, no, I wouldn't dream of it. How is Mrs. Watson?
Oh, very well, thank you. In her element. Mrs. Forrester, you remember Mary's old employer. She's staying with us.
Yes, and her charming children?
Oh, yes, all three of them.
Congratulations on effecting your escape.
I hope my motives weren't as transparent to them as they are to you. I do find a little goes a long way, I must say. Gives one a new respect for the patience of womankind. I mustn't stay away too long. They are guests, after all. And anyway, they're eagerly awaiting the lurid details of your latest triumphs.
Well, I'm sure your powers of invention will rise to the occasion.
Ah, it's been quiet, has it? What about the Hotel Cosmopolitan robbery? Haven't they called you in on that?
I'm afraid you overestimate Scotland Yard's eagerness to admit their inefficiency. Would you care for a drink?
Thank you. You know, I'd never heard of this blue carbuncle until I read the report in the Times this morning. The word has a very different connotation for me.
And you accuse me of single-mindedness. Here. Your very good health.
The compliments of the season. Sorry.
A carbuncle is a precious stone, usually a garnet, cut in the en cabochon or dome-top shape and invariably deep ruby red in colour.
Ah, so that's why this blue specimen is so valuable.
It is unique. It was found in the banks of the Amoy River in southern China 19 years ago.
The things you know.
It's generally considered to be worth at least £20,000.
Good God. Thank you. It's been good to see you. But I really ought to be getting along. Perhaps they'll have tired themselves out by now.
Can you spare a few moments more?
Well...
No, you're quite right. Domestic responsibilities come first. It's only a very minor investigation.
Investigation?
Before I tell you the story, have a look at this. Now, what do you think of it?
Another gift?
Oh, hardly. There are those in this bustling capital with good cause to wish me ill, but I fancy most of them have in mind something rather more drastic than insulting me with shabby items of headgear.
Well, then, does it have some deadly story linked onto it? Is it the clue that will lead you to the solution of a mystery and the punishment of a terrible crime?
No, the matter is a perfectly trivial one.
Oh.
It's just one of those whimsical little incidents which will happen when you have 4 million human beings all jostling each other within the space of a few square miles.
Yeah, you're right. It is shabby.
Look on it, not as a battered billycock, but as an intellectual problem. And what can you deduce about its owner?
Deduce? From this old felt?
Well, you know my methods.
Observation and deduction. Well, it's an old... round hat with a brim.
Very good, Watson. A thousand apologies, my dear fellow. Pray continue.
The lining used to be of red silk. No maker's name. The initials HB scrawled on the inside. It's cracked, exceedingly dusty, daubed with ink here and there to hide the discoloured patches. And the brim has been pierced for a hat securer, though the elastic's missing. It's a very ordinary black hat. I can see nothing.
Oh, on the contrary, Watson. You can see everything, as you just proved, with that excellent description. You fail, however, to reason from what you see. You're too timid in drawing your inferences.
What inferences can you draw?
The man is highly intellectual. That's obvious, of course. He was fairly well-to-do, although within the last 3 years he has fallen upon evil days. He had foresight, but is less now than formerly, pointing to a moral retrogression. This, taken with the decline of his fortune, seems to indicate some malign influence at work upon him, possibly drink. This may account also for the obvious fact that his wife has ceased to love him.
My dear Holmes.
He has, however, retained some degree of self-respect. He's a man who is out of training entirely. He's middle-aged, has grizzled hair, which he's had cut with the last few days in which he anoints with lime cream. Oh, also, it's extremely improbable that he has gas laid on in his house.
Oh, surely you're joking.
Not in the least. But can you truly not see how I arrived at these conclusions?
I've no doubt I'm very stupid.
Oh, Watson.
Well, then, how did you deduce that this man is an intellectual?
It's a question of cubic capacity. Now, put the hat on.
Very
You see? Or rather, you don't see.
It's huge.
And a man with so large a brain must have something in it.
The decline of his fortunes?
This hat is 3 years old. These flat brims curled at the edge came in then, and it's a hat of the very best quality. You remark that the lining was once excellent, and look at the band. Ribbed silk. If this man could afford so expensive a hat 3 years ago, but has had no hat since, then he has assuredly gone down in the world.
Perhaps he just prefers wearing an old hat. He may well have a wardrobe full of new ones.
A favourite hat would be merely well-worn. This one, oh, it's positively repellent.
Yes, I noticed that. All right. But what about the foresight and the moral retrogression?
Here is the foresight.
A hole for the hat securer?
They're never sold upon hats. They have to be ordered specially, hence foresight. He went out of his way to take precautions against the wind, and less foresight now than previously
because he hasn't bothered to replace the broken lass. And you see that as moral retrogression.
A weakening nature. On the other hand, and again, as you pointed out, he's attempted to hide these stains with ink, so he hasn't entirely lost his self-respect. That he's middle-aged, with grizzled hair, lime-creamed and recently cut, you can see from a close examination of the lower lining.
And out of training? I've got it. He perspires copiously. Something else I learned when I had it on.
Exactly. And finally, the matter of the gas. 5 tallow stains can hardly come by chance. Tallow stains mean tallow candles. Are you satisfied?
You have an answer for everything. No, wait a minute. How on earth do you know that his wife has ceased to love him?
When I see you, my dear doctor, with a week's accumulation of dust on your hat, and when Mrs. Watson allows you to go out in such a deplorable state, I shall fear that you also have been unfortunate enough to lose your wife's affections.
He might be a bachelor.
Look at this label.
For Mrs. Henry Baker. Well?
It was tied to the leg of the goose.
What goose?
The goose that Mr. Henry Baker, H.B., was taking home as a peace offering to his wife.
Well, I think you might have mentioned that before I started.
Miss Rhodes!
Hmm?
Miss
Rhodes! Pearson, what have you found this time?
No, no, sir. The goose. The goose.
What of it, man? Has it returned to life and flapped off through the kitchen window?
See here, Mr. Holmes. See what my wife found in its crop.
Good heavens, Peterson.
This is treasure trove indeed. I suppose you know what you've got.
It cuts into glass as though it were putty. It's some sort of precious stone.
It's more than a precious stone. Just at the present, it's the precious stone.
It's the Countess of Morcar's blue carbuncle.
Now listen, I told you last night and I'm telling you again now. I come by that merchandise fair and square, and I'll not have anyone saying otherwise. You've got no call snooping round here, prying into my business. Who I sell my goods to, that's private, between them and me, see? If you wanted one, you should have got here earlier. Don't you know it's Christmas? Now clear off out of it!
Here you are, Peterson. Drink this.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. Oh, that's better.
Sit there for a moment. Get your breath back.
You are sure, Mr. Holmes? You wouldn't say it if you weren't sure, would you?
Perfectly sure. The reward was announced today, £1,000.
You're a rich man, Peterson.
The shock will kill my Elsie. Yeah,
you'd better break it to her gently. You see, Watson, our little deductions have suddenly assumed a much less innocent aspect. Here is the gem. The gem came from the goose, and the goose came from the gentleman with a bad hat and all the other characteristics with which I bored you.
And now we must locate him. What were you writing?
Found at the corner of Googe Street and the Tottenham Court Road, a goose and a black felt hat. Mr. Henry Baker can have the same by applying at 6:30 this evening at 221B Baker Street. That is clear and concise.
Very. But well, will he see it?
Oh, well, he's sure to keep an eye on the papers. Don't forget, he's a poor man. The loss must have been a heavy one. Now, Peterson, are you recovered?
Yes, Miss Strange.
Yes, good. Run down to the advertising agency and have this put in the evening papers.
Which one, sir?
The Globe, Star, Pall Mall, St. James's Gazette, Evening News, Standard Echo, and any others that occur to you.
Very well, sir. Yeah. And the stone?
Yes, I shall keep the stone. Oh, and Peterson, stop off on your way back and buy a goose. Mm. We must have one to give to Mr. Baker this evening.
Certainly, sir.
Oh, right. Here's a sovereign.
Mr. Holmes. Mm. Thank you very much, gentlemen. £1,000.
He won't forget this Christmas in a hurry. Holmes?
Look at it, Watson. You see how it glints and sparkles.
Mm.
It is a nucleus and a focus of crime. Every good stone is. They are the devil's pet baits. There have been 2 murders, a vitriol throwing, a suicide, and several robberies brought about for the sake of this 40-grain weight of crystallized charcoal. Who would think that so pretty a toy would be a purveyor to the gallows and the prison? It's a bonny thing.
What will you do with it? Are you going to tell the police that it's been found?
All in good time, my dear doctor. All in good time.
Someone to see you, Horner. In here.
Alice.
You've got 2 minutes. Remember what I said.
Thank God you're here.
Oh, John. John.
What did he mean? What did he say to you?
I'm supposed to ask you where you stashed it.
So that's why they let you see me.
But why don't you tell them, John?
What?
They say it'll be easier for you if you do.
You think I did it? You really think I...
John! How could you be such a fool?
Ah, come in, Doctor. I was beginning to think that you were going to miss the excitement.
Unfortunately, my patients haven't yet learned to be ill, only between the hours of 9 and 5:30.
Yeah, some restorative medicine.
Oh, thank you. Compliment your very good health.
Hmm.
Ah, that's excellent.
Mr. Henry Baker. Mm. He's admirably punctual.
Do you think he did have anything to do with the robbery?
Why speculate? We shall soon know.
What about the man Bradstreet's arrested? Is he innocent?
I cannot tell.
He has a wife and 2 children.
Had a previous conviction.
He's continued to protest his innocence. Suppose he's not the thief. What sort of Christmas are his family going to
have? I'm interested in facts, not suppositions. Come in.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Mr. Henry Baker, I presume?
Correct, sir.
Pray come in and sit by the fire, Mr. Baker. It's a cold night, and I observe that your circulation is more adapted for summer than for winter.
Thank you, Mr.
Holmes, and this is my friend and colleague, Dr. Watson.
Good evening, sir.
Doctor, I saw your advertisement in the Echo, gentlemen.
Excellent. Is that your hat, Mr. Baker?
Yes, sir. That is undoubtedly my hat.
Ah.
I thought never to see it again. Or my specimen of Anser domesticus.
Ah, yes, your goose. I'm afraid we were compelled to eat it.
To eat it?
Yes, it would have been no use to anyone had we not done so.
Oh, dear.
Chin up, Mr. Baker. Look on the sideboard.
The sideboard, sir? Ah.
I presume that goose, which is about the same weight...
and perfectly fresh...
will answer your purpose equally well?
Oh, certainly, certainly.
Of course, we still have the feathers, legs, crop, and, so on of your own bird, if you so wish.
They might serve as relics of my adventure, but beyond that I can hardly see what use the disjecta membra of my late acquaintance are going to be to me.
Here is your hat, then.
And here is your bird.
Thank you, gentlemen.
By the way...
Mr. Holmes?
Would it bore you to tell me where you got the other goose from? I'm something of a fowl fancier, and I've seldom seen a better grown bird.
Certainly, sir. There are a few of us who frequent a particular tavern near the British Museum. We are to be found in the museum itself during the day, you understand. Studying.
Quite so.
Yes. Well, this year, our good host, Windigate by name, instituted a goose club, by which, on consideration of some few pence every week, we were to receive a bird at Christmas.
An admirable arrangement.
Indeed, sir. For such a one as I, to whom shillings are not so plentiful as once they were... it was a godsend. And then to have both bird and headgear snatched from my person. Well, enough of that.
And what is the name of this excellent hostelry?
Yes, the Alpha Inn.
Alpha Inn. Thank you.
A very good evening to you, Mr. Baker.
Good night, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson.
Good night.
And the compliments of the season to you both.
And to you, sir. Well... it's quite certain that he knows nothing whatsoever about the matter.
Yeah, poor old soul. Why was he so embarrassed about his studies?
Well, I fancy he values the museum as much for its warmth and its comfort as for its books. Now, Doctor, what are your plans for the evening? Is Mrs. Watson standing anxiously in the window awaiting your return to Home and Hearth?
Not now I've told her what happened this morning. She knows you far too well. Tell Mr. Holmes I'd appreciate having you back by the new year, she said.
Splendid! Come along, then!
Evening, gents. What's your pleasure?
Two glasses of your best beer, please, landlord.
Straight away, sir.
Your beer should be excellent if it's as good as your geese.
My geese?
Yes, I was speaking only half an hour ago to Mr. Henry Baker, who was a member of your goose club.
Oh, I see, yeah. But them's not my geese.
Indeed. Whose then?
Yes.
Good evening. It's a cold night.
Hmm.
Sold out of geese, I see.
Let you have 500 tomorrow morning.
That's no good.
Well, he's got some over there. Yeah,
but I was recommended to you.
Who by?
The landlord of the Alpha Inn.
I sent him a couple of dozen.
They're fine birds, too. Now, where did you get them from?
Now then, mister, what's all this about? Let's have it straight now.
It's straight enough. I should like to know who sold you the geese which you supplied to the Alpha.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, I don't know why you should be so warm over such a trifle.
Warm? You'd be warm if you were pestered as I am.
Pestered, Mr. Breckenridge?
When I pay good money for a good article, there should be an end of the business. But it's, where are the geese? Who did you sell the geese to? And a lot more besides.
Well, I have no connection with any other people who've been making inquiries.
Makes no odds to me who you're connected with. I didn't tell them, and I won't tell you.
Oh, just as you like. Oh, I'm sorry, Watson. The bet's off.
The bet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. Too bad.
Bet? What bet?
Hmm? I have a fiver on it with my friend here that the bird I ate was country bred. Isn't that right, Watson?
Absolutely. And I say I know a town-bred bird when I taste one.
Got it from the Alpha, did you?
From Mr. Windergate's own hands.
Then you lost your fiver. Those geese was town-bred.
They were nothing of the kind.
I say they were.
I don't believe you.
Oh, come on, Holmes. Don't be a sore loser. He's always like this. Won't take anyone's word for anything.
Please, Watson. Mr. Breckenridge, you'll never persuade me that those birds were town-bred.
You want to bet?
No, I'd just be taking your money.
How much?
A sovereign.
Done. Now, look here, Mr. Cocksure. This is a list of my suppliers. Country folk first, then town. Then, what does that say at the top of that page?
Mrs. Oakshot, 117 Brixton Road.
Town, right. What's the latest entry?
23rd of December, 24 geese at 7 and 6.
Thank you. And underneath that?
Sold at 12 shillings each to Mr. Windergate, Alpha Inn, Bloomsbury.
Right. What do you say now?
Good night to you.
You see, terrible loser. Holmes, I say, what about my fiver?
Oh, well done, Holmes.
Oh, thank you for your contribution. It's a masterly performance.
Your after-dinner recitation tomorrow should be excellent.
What's it to be? Billy's Rose, Christmas Day in the workhouse.
Oh, please. It was the night before Christmas. All right.
Look, how did you know that that would work?
When you see a man with whiskers of that cut and a sporting paper protruding out of his pocket, you can always draw him with a bet.
Ah. Do we have to go out of Brixton? How much longer is this trail going to stretch?
Remember, Watson, a man will certainly get 7 years penal servitude unless we can establish his innocence.
Oh, so you do think he's innocent?
Well, it's possible.
Right, I've had enough of you and your geese.
Wait a moment, Rock.
If you show your face here again, I'll set the dog on you, see if I don't.
But all I want to know is...
Did I buy them off you? Did I sell them to you?
No, of course not.
Then it's none of your business, is it? Now be off.
But Mrs. Oldshot told me to ask you.
You can ask the King of Prussia for all I care. I've had enough. Now, are you going?
Don't hit me. Don't hit me. I didn't mean no harm. Honestly, I didn't. It's just that one of them was mine. That's all. Mine.
Oh. Good evening.
Who are you? What do you want?
I couldn't help overhearing. I think I could be of assistance to you.
You? Who are you? How could you know anything about it?
It is my business to know what other people don't know. My name is Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
looks very seasonal in this weather.
You look cold, sir.
Perhaps that accounts for your silence during the cab journey.
Well, that is to say...